Joseph Rogers once said that a person who is at the top is a person who has the habit of getting to the bottom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We're caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through Him, there's one truth, which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up, along with ours, as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. And this provoking is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politics-free zone. The only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
If you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel mug, here is what you do.
You can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net. Today is Sunday, June 14th, 2009. All audio and printed material are the copyrighted property of Christian Questions.
All right, so on behalf of Vicki, good morning, Vic.
Good morning.
You're here for Jonathan.
I am.
You know, he turns older. I wasn't supposed to say his age, and now he's not here. You got to wonder.
He leaves the country.
Anyway, so on behalf of Vicki, my co-host, and Fred, the man behind the board.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Fred. We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So, Vic, I know you weren't here last week, but what did we talk about last week?
The topic was, how do God's judgments work?
We were talking about three of the great judgments of God at three different periods of time. And looking at them from a prophetic standpoint, what they mean, what and who are being judged, what the consequences are. And the bottom line of all of that was God's judgments are in place so that His plan can continue and come to its fruition so we can have that happily ever after that we all really, truly desire. Very interesting program, kind of a much deeper prophetic type program than, for instance, this morning.
Right.
What's our topic this morning?
This morning we're asking, can you fix your own blind spots? And the theme's text comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?
Okay, a little plank going on there, a little plankton or something. I don't know. Anyway, you know what? You have blind spots. You know you do. I have blind spots, and you know I do. So now what? Does it matter that we have them, if we all have them, or should we be focused on removing them? What causes blind spots anyway? Is there some secret formula that we can apply to be rid of them? Fortunately, the Bible is full of examples of blind spots, so that means we can see where they come from, what they lead to, and most importantly, how to deal with them. So folks, stay with us this morning as we aim to make this one of those programs that can give us insight into ourselves and insight into some practical solutions to one of humanity's greatest challenges, blind spots. Yep, that's what we're talking about, Vic, blind spots.
And we have three questions today. The first is, what is a blind spot?
All right. Now, we're not talking about spotted blinds. You can clean those and they're done. We're talking about blind spots.
So we're also not talking about plankton's much smaller than a plank.
That's true. All right. Second question, what causes a blind spot and what is its results?
And the final question, how can we identify a blind spot and can we fix it ourselves?
All right. So, folks, that's where we're going this morning. So gear up for that. If you have any thoughts, let us know. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, 866 toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Vic, let's get started. What is a blind spot? So let's look at a definition.
Okay, this is from Maxwell Impact CDs, and it's John Maxwell's definition. The blind spot is an area in the lives of people in which they continually do not see themselves or their situation realistically. This unawareness often causes great damage to the people around them.
All right. That, I think, is a great way of stating what a blind spot is. And, of course, when we think of blind spots, one of the things we always tend to think about is when you're driving.
Right.
One of the things you learn in going through driver's ed or being taught by your mom or your dad to drive is watch out for your
blind spots.
And it's interesting because there is this very pronounced blind spot when you drive, and you're driving along in the middle lane, and maybe you want to move over to the left lane, and you look in your rear view mirror, and things are crystal clear.
That's it. Until you glance behind you.
Until you do the head check.
Right.
And that reveals something that was there all along, but you had no idea of. Well, that's the way it is in life.
At least in a car, you know right where the blind spot is, though.
That's true. And you know how to avoid a catastrophe because you're taught to do that, turn your head. If you don't turn your head, you're not going to see what was always there. I mean, did you ever have the experience in life where you said, whoa, I didn't see that one coming?
A time or two, yeah.
And that's part of having blind spots. Now, blind spots can come about in a number of different ways. We're not going to list them all, but let's list out a few.
Okay, they can be as a result of our personality type.
Certain personalities will tend towards certain kinds of blind spots. What else?
Our emotional state.
Ah, now, let's think about that one for a second. Our emotional state. When we get all up in arms about something, we tend to be very, very narrowly focused on whatever it is, and a whole lot of blind spots can occur around us, and we're just completely oblivious.
Right. I think it can happen when we're overly joyful, too.
Now, there's an interesting thought.
I think that's any time that you're completely focused on yourself, I think you. So it's either when you're really, really happy. You know, if you won $1 million, you might forget about people that were struggling with you before.
You mean the little people
along
the way?
The little people along the way, right.
Okay. Well, some of the other things, and we'll get back into these as we go through this, folks.
As a result of our upbringing.
All right. We can be brought up with certain ways of looking at things, and other things are just essentially programmed out, but they may be there all along.
How about as a result of our being ignorant in certain areas?
Perhaps we just don't know enough about certain things, certain parts of life, to know what to look for, and therefore we're blind to those things.
And the final way we're going to talk about is as a result of our own focus in a particular direction.
Right, and that's kind of what you were saying before, along the lines of when you're so focused on something, other things become of less importance. So, it's interesting because Jesus readily acknowledged the existence and the danger of blind spots. And we're going to read our theme text in its context, and it really gives you a sense of, it's a very dramatic picture. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this text, but it gives us a sense of a very dramatic picture of what blind spots can do.
And it's taken from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let us take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye.
Excuse me. So this is one of those classic examples of looking at something wrong with someone else, and Jesus is saying, you better not be doing that.
Yeah, but with such an exaggerated example, I mean, this is, the Lord's really trying to tell us something here.
Something very big. He's saying,
right,
you're noticing
a log.
Right, a little speck in your neighbor's eye, and you're so concerned about them having that speck because it's going to blur their vision, but you've got this big old 4x8, you know, sticking out of your own eye. I mean, it is. It's a very dramatic picture. And actually, I think Jonathan and I, we talked about this set of scriptures a number of weeks ago. But let's just quickly go through this, because we can break these verses down sort of into a process. And these were actually points from a program we did April 19th. So verse 1, Vic, what is verse 1?
It's the warning.
Okay, don't judge because you'll be judged. In other words, if you act on incomplete information without proper self-assessment, there's something coming back to you that you probably won't like so much.
And verse 2 is the consequences.
And the consequences here are the kind of judgment you give out, if you're doing it on incomplete information, will be the kind of judgment you get back. And nobody wants to be judged on incomplete information. We all want to be judged on what we would deem to be the truth of the matter.
Right.
So those are the consequences.
And then in verse 3, it's the sin of fault-finding, the observation stage. Why are we even looking?
Okay, right. And that was the question that you brought up before. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but don't consider the plank in your own? Why are you doing that when you have so much work to do on yourself? So that's the sin of fault finding. Verse 4 is what?
It continues with the sin of fault finding, but now it's moved on to the communication stage. So it's, why are we even speaking?
All right, so you see it, and now you're going to go tell them about it. And Jesus is really saying, what are you doing? You know what would happen if you took this example and put it to some literal sense? You'd knock them over with the plank sticking out of your eye before you got to them is what would happen. He's saying, why are you saying, let me take the speck out of your eye when you've got this big old monster plank in your own eye?
And then verse 5 is the sin of fault finding as well. And this is the revealing stage, what we have become, hypocrites.
And that's what Jesus says. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. So it's a very, very, very pointed lesson on not looking for fault in others, because when we do that, we often have blind spots in our things that we can't see in ourselves that makes our looking for fault in others very, very futile. So that being said, what we're going to spend the program doing this morning is going through some actual physical examples, individuals in the Bible who succumbed to their own blind spots, and examine what happened to them, what they did, and what the results were. So these will be our case studies from the scriptures, and we'll get a sense of where they went wrong. So let's start with an early biblical example, and just before the break here, Vic, let's read the account of Cain.
That's in Genesis 4, 1 through 8. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel for his part brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, Let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him.
Now, when you think about it, that's just one little paragraph, but there's an awful lot happening in that one little paragraph.
Yes, there is.
And what we really want to begin to look at with this particular case study is the blind spot that Cain had, that blind spot of jealousy, and try to figure it out.
This is Christian Questions with Vicki sitting in for Jonathan this morning, and Rick. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Christian Questions. Today we're discussing, can you fix your own blind spots? And don't forget, we're caller-friendly. To be a part of our program, give us a call at 1-866-985-4255. That's 1-866-985, the numeral 4, all.
All right, and Vic, we're talking about blind spots, and we're talking about some biblical case studies. Our first case study is the case of the first sibling rivalry in all of the world.
It's a sad story.
It is a sad story, and it's a great big old blind spot that we're dealing with, the story of Cain. And you were remarking during the break about how quickly this narrative sort of develops.
Yes, indeed.
It starts out in the first line of the, 10-line paragraph, Cain is born.
Right.
And 10 lines later, he just killed his brother. So obviously there's some time that has gone by here. And a couple of things here that we need to understand is that with the sacrificing, there's a sacrifice that God is looking for and something that he's not.
Right.
And Cain is not in the right mental attitude to see that, apparently.
Yep. And the Lord even tells him in the seventh verse or so, where he says that if you don't do well, sin is lurking at the door. If you do well, you'll be accepted, so there's hope there. But if you don't, sin is lurking at the door, and you've got to master it. And so there was a choice on his part, I guess.
And I think that's the important thing. Something was revealed to him, but he just chose not to go and follow it through.
It was a big blind spot.
Right. And there was a dramatic amount of jealousy involved here. Let's get into one scripture on jealousy, and then we'll go to the phone.
Proverbs 14, verse 29 through 30 says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones."
Just think about that last phrase for a minute. Envy is rottenness to the bones.
That's really yucky.
That's one way to say it. It is. And what happens is when we get involved and we start to follow through the blind spot, we end up, in this case, with jealousy that grows and grows and grows. And it brought Cain to a point of no return, essentially.
Right.
It brought him to the point of taking the life of another because he wouldn't back up and sort of reboot. We have Randall from Connecticut on the line. Let's go to Randall.
Welcome to the program, Randall. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning, Vicki. I want to start out just with a quote from Berkeley Rice. My scripture, by the way, is Tobit 12:19. But I have a quote from Berkeley Rice, and this is about the good part of blind spots. Visionary people are visionary partly because of the very great many things they don't see. And you can look at this: if the Wright brothers knew that it wasn't possible to fly, if they didn't have that blind spot, we wouldn't have airplanes. And if you have a spouse who leaves the cap off the toothpaste tube, if you don't have a blind spot about that, you're going to have a miserable marriage. So it can be good to have a blind spot. Now, Tobit is, this is when Raphael reveals himself to Tobiah and Tobit, Tobiah and Tobit. "Even though you watched me eat and drink, I did not really do so. What you were seeing was a vision." And the angel Raphael, the great archangel Raphael, was protecting and giving blessings to Tobit's family, but they did not see what was going on. So when we have a blind spot, it doesn't necessarily mean something bad that we are doing, but we can have a blind spot to the blessings that God is giving to us.
Very well said. Very good.
All right, it's a pleasure. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank
God
you, Randall.
You. God bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Interesting point on the what he said at the beginning of his comment. He's talking about the Wright brothers and a blind spot because everybody said you couldn't fly.
Right.
All right, but here's the point. You could. That's aerodynamically, it was possible.
So really, everybody else had the blind spot.
They just didn't know enough. So what they did is they blinded themselves to the doubt because they believed that there was more there. And I think that's an interesting perspective to look at as we go through this program on blind spots and how it's important to be able to be focused to get something done of great, great value.
I liked his point, too, that we can be blind to God's blessings, and we certainly don't want to do that.
And too often, for instance, in the case of Cain, when you think about it, that's exactly what happened to him. Because God said to him, where did he say it? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? God is saying to him, look, you can fix this. I'm still here. I'm just waiting for you. That's essentially what he said. But Cain became so focused on, I'm not taking anything from my brother, kind of a thing,
right,
and ended up in a very, very, very bad way because the jealousy consumed him to the point of murder. So, Randall, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. And, folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. And, listen, it doesn't have to be something profound. It could be a favorite scripture. It could just be a thought. Your input is important to us. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Because we are caller friendly.
Yes, we are. Okay, let's go on to a few other scriptures about jealousy because that characteristic can brutalize a human being.
Let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 4. "Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy?"
Okay, so wrath is bad. And anger is like a torrent, you know, and a torrent will just sweep you away. And he's saying, but who's able to stand before jealousy?
And you wouldn't, I mean, most people would be more afraid of someone's anger or wrath than they would their jealousy. But jealousy has a far more reaching, a greater reaching effect, I guess, on.
And one of the things about jealousy is like one of those covert operations.
Right, right.
It works on you and eats you up from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it rears its ugly head, boy, you're way, way down a road that you don't want to be down. A couple of scriptures on jealousy.
Song of Solomon 8:6. Set me a seal upon my heart, upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame.
And again, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. When you think about losing a loved one, and all of a sudden one day they're there, and the next day they're not, mm-hmm. and life has been so tremendously uprooted. You look at that and say, that's awful. And that's what jealousy is.
Whoa.
One more scripture on
Matthew 27, verses 15 through 18. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy.
Okay, so that's the key. They knew that they had handed him over because of envy. So there was who was jealous here? It was the Pharisees.
Right.
They're jealous of Jesus because he had people following him simply because of who he was and what he stood for and how he carried himself, and they just didn't have that stuff.
Right. They had just the big pomp and circumstance.
Right. And so theirs was an outward piety. His was an inward piety, and that's what won the battle. That's what drove them crazy to the point, again, just like with Cain. Interesting parallel there.
That envy can lead to murder,
yes.
All these times. That's, whoa.
It's kind of a scary thing. Now, so the blind spot that we're talking about with Cain really had a lot to do with jealousy. That's what caused it. Now, what were the results of the blind spot? And we already talked about the murder part here. But let's go into this a little bit further, because God now challenges Cain on this in Genesis 4, 9 through 16.
Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord, and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
So the result of this blind spot was two lives ruined. You had Abel's life taken from him, but Cain. Now Cain is in that. He is so jealous. He's in that denial that comes along with it. Well, he says, "Where's your brother?" God says to him, "Where's your brother Abel?" I don't know. Well, yes, you do. And God's response, immediate response, is, "What did you do? What did you do?" And Cain has nothing to stand on. Because it's interesting, when we fall into and we act upon that blind spot of jealousy, whatever we end up doing will never make us happier. Think about that for a second. Whenever we act out of jealousy, there's no happiness. There may be a momentary thrill of, oh, I got him. But it doesn't change the quality of your life for the better. It always brings it down.
Worse,
and
right.
Somehow or other, there's more angst and there's more frustration and there's more internal anger that brews as a result. And the life of Cain is a perfect example. And this is a scripture that really puts it in perspective. He says, now you're cursed from the ground which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. God is telling him, he's outlining the degree of the sin here. And he's not pulling any punishments. Any punches, rather. Cain's response is, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And God said, no, It's not. You deserve it. This is what you're getting. You have changed your life. You chose. I gave you a chance, but you chose to change your life. Cain was blind to the opportunity to melt away that jealousy.
And you said it affected two lives, but it really affected Adam and Eve as well, because they basically lost both sons, probably.
Well, you're right. And now, think about this. They were obviously, this was not, the account of Genesis is a very, the book of Genesis is kind of a strange book in that you got 50 chapters in the book, mm-hmm. and it covers 1,600 years. All right? In that one paragraph, you obviously had the whole period of time from when Cain and Abel were born until they were grown men.
Right.
You also had other sons and daughters begotten by Adam and Eve, because he says, if I go somewhere, people will find me. What people? Those people.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a lot of time that has gone by through here. So it affected not only Cain and Abel and their parents, but there was an effect on probably the entire world population at that point.
Right.
Because you had the first murder here, and it was a dramatic example of being blind to something that, you know, from the outside looking in, when you see somebody else's blind spot, it's, oh, pretty simple. Vic, come on. Can't you see it? Hello, open your eyes. But when you're on the inside looking out, it's oftentimes very, very difficult.
I'm gonna say that Cain learned from his mistakes, though, that God's judgment was just what he needed to turn around. So by the time he died, he figured it out.
That's Vicky's
take. That's the Pollyanna in
there. There you go. I wasn't going to say it. I did think it. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Vic, let's go on to our second case study in the Scriptures. Let's go now to the New Testament and look at the Apostle Peter.
You mean an apostle had a blind spot?
Oh, boy,
cool.
We're talking mammoth cave-size blind spot.
This is in Matthew 26, verses 30 through 35. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I will have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples.
That's interesting. Peter, obviously, first of all, is a spokesman for the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the voice of the following of Jesus. But Jesus makes a very plain statement when they are going out. This is literally just before he's about to embark on this night of trial and torture and death. And he says to them, because now they're going out to the Mount of Olives. This is where he prays, and he's going to be taken captive very soon after this. So this is not something that he says 2 years before, and it sort of gets forgotten. This is within hours. Within hours of the event actually happening, and he says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me tonight. And what he does is he cites a scripture. He cites an Old Testament prophecy. He's saying, I know this because the Old Testament has prophesied this to happen. So you have that as the backdrop of information. And Peter's reaction is, oh, no.
Still doesn't get it.
Absolutely not. He is determined that he's the one who's going to stand, but does he?
This is Vicki and Rick on Christian Questions. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Christian Questions. Today's question, can you fix your own blind spots? Give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free at 1-866-985-4ALL.
And folks, we are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Let us know what you think. Doesn't have to be profound, but we'd love to hear your perspective because your perspective helps us.
And you can check us out on the web as well at www.christianquestions.net.
How about that? All right. We're talking about blind spots. We're looking at the Apostle Peter. We just read the account of where Jesus quotes an Old Testament prophecy to warn his disciples, his apostles specifically, that they are all going to be scattered as a result of what was about to happen. Peter says, oh, no, 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 no. Maybe all men will be scattered from you, but not me. I'm the one who's going to stand by your side. Now, it's interesting because Jesus quotes the Old Testament prophecy. This gives what Jesus says amazing clout. He's saying the Bible, the prophecies say this. So be aware because the prophecies are coming true.
I liked your comment. Pierce must have thought there was a footnote that said all except Peter.
Yeah. And so when Peter challenges, Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you this night that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter says, even if I had. So Jesus is gently telling him, look, as a matter of fact, you're the one.
It's going to fall the farthest.
Yeah, you're in the crosshairs here. And Peter still says, even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you.
But it shows where his heart was.
Absolutely. Yeah. So his heart was in the right place, but his pride was in the way. Oh, no, no, I'm too strong for that. Mm-hmm. I will stand by my Lord Jesus because I have the strength to do it. Let's look at a few scriptures on what causes this blind spot of pride.
Proverbs 16:18-19. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
And with that scripture, it reminds me that Peter would have been better off just to say nothing.
Right.
And to just say, oh, I better take this to heart. Next one.
Proverbs 11:2-3. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them.
I love that scripture, but that's Proverbs 11:2-3. When pride comes, then comes shame. The integrity of the upright will guide them. And there's such power in those few words about putting ourselves into the position of having that humble approach so that we can do the right things because we're thinking along the right lines. And we see when you have a blind spot, your thinking skips that part.
Right. The humility, I think, is a big key to seeing our blind spots.
I think you're right. As a matter of fact, the next scripture shows an utter and complete and total lack of humility on the part of Lucifer, that spirit being who became Satan.
And that's in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.
Lots
of eyes.
And what happens is there was a tremendous fall. Just like the Proverbs scripture said, pride goes before destruction. And Lucifer wanted something that was not. It was very similar to a program we did on coveting a few weeks ago. Lucifer wanted something mm-hmm. that was not rightfully his or should not have been rightfully his. And the end result was disastrous. Disastrous not. And usually when we get into situations like that, and if we're the one who is doing the coveting or has the pride or whatever, it affects other people as well.
Oh, more than we know, I'm sure.
So we not only bring ourselves down because of our own blind spot, but we bring others down as well. One other quick scripture on this in terms of just looking at pride from a scriptural standpoint.
Luke 18:9-12. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
Isn't there a similarity between that one and the previous scripture?
I.
And I love the way verse 11, Jesus says it. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself.
Oh, yeah, not to God.
Yeah, yeah, he's just patting, you know, he's got long arms because he's patting
right.
himself on the back. and I do this, and I'm so glad I'm not like that guy. And there's this incredible blindness that occurs when we get so absorbed in the pride. And Peter had the same problem. He had the same issue, the same challenge. So we looked at a few scriptures on pride. Now let's go back to the account of Peter and see what happens. What was the result of Peter's blind spot?
Okay, and this is in Luke 22:54-65. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while another saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, when he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him.
So here you have the result of Peter's blind spot, and it is a dramatic result. It is something that is so difficult because Peter now remembers. See, now here's the thing. Peter was told. He was just like with Cain.
Just like Cain, right.
He was told that there was going to be an issue. He was told he would have to deal with the issue. And when he challenged it, he was told again, even more specifically. And so what happens, Peter, when they arrest Jesus and they take him, it says he followed at a distance. Okay, not too bad so far. He's following at a distance. He wants to stay with his Lord.
Right.
Then he tries to blend in. Here's where begins to get into trouble. He tries to blend in, and when he's challenged on his blending in is where the denials start.
Oh, 3 times.
You were one of them. No, 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 I don't know the man. Well, you speak the same way that he speaks. Oh, no, 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 I'm not one of them.
But see, I can see how it would be a blind spot, because he's probably thinking, rationalizing in his head, I need to do this to stay close. If they know I'm one of them, I won't be any help to Jesus. So in order to be here and to be helpful, this is what the Lord would want me to do.
And so it's interesting, though, by the third time,
right,
he's denying and he's cursing.
Oh.
So that rationalization led to his own destruction at that point in time, at that moment.
Right.
Now, it wasn't a permanent destruction. We'll get to that
but
in a second hour.
But blind spots always lead to sad stories.
They do. That's a great way to put it. They lead to an end result that is just not upbeat, and it's not positive. Let's go to the phone. I understand that we have Julius from Groton, Connecticut on the line.
Welcome to the program, Julius.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much, Vicki and Rick. In behalf of my client, Vicki, Mr. Rick,
yes,
I hope that you are an equal opportunity employer, that you give her the same salary you give Janet.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you fix your blind spots? Oh, boy. That's a tough one. I wish I could.
That's a good answer, I think.
You remember the illustration, the very common illustration, when we say things that we shouldn't, we do things that we shouldn't do, like taking the toothpaste out of the tube?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
Sad commentary. Anyhow, I like... Before I give you a scripture, I'd like to reflect on what Vicki said earlier. I like that spirit of compassion that hopefully Cain did eventually see the light and repented from what he did. I hope he did. I don't think there is any specific proof. Is there, Vicki?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But it's I like that thought. Okay, my favorite scripture on this, along this line, one of truly a beautiful, like the rest of them, it's found in John chapter 1. the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where when Nathanael, in his blind spot, he questioned the identity of God, the Son of God. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember
right.
that
account? Right, right, right.
Yeah. What a beautiful story, because obviously not only was Nathanael sincere what he said, but the Lord Jesus recognized it, acknowledged it, and he praised him for it. He gave him credit for what he said, that he was done in sincerity. So I done that more than once all my life, many times. I said something that I did it sincerely, and I always regret it, and I always I say, the Lord will knows my heart. So great subject, and God bless for sharing it with us.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Thank you. Have a great day yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Vic, one thing that Julius said, I think that was important. You know, he asked the question rhetorically, you know, can you fix your own blind spots? He says, boy, I wish I could.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that for a second, because he started me thinking along the lines of, if we could fix our own blind spots, that actually wouldn't be a good thing.
It wouldn't be a blind spot.
Well, but also it would of necessity take away the process that is in place to fix a blind spot, which is to come to a point of much deeper humility. And oftentimes, see, humility has to be arrived at many times in more of an interchange or public kind of a manner.
Right.
Not just internally. So there's this humility of being able to recognize it because it's been pointed out to you, and then to fix it.
I like the analogy that they use with the Christian, that it's like gold over a fire when you're trying to purify it. And as the fire gets hot, all the green, gross, disgusting goo comes out. And until you see it, you don't even know it's there.
Right.
And I think that's what happens to us in our experiences. We see parts of ourselves that are like, ew, but we can't work on it until you see it.
Right. And what we're finding out with blind spots here, in our two case studies in this first hour, is that it's something that needs to be pointed out to you somehow or other, because by definition, if it's a blind spot, you're not going to be the one to say, you know, I've been thinking and I've got this blind spot and I really need to work on it. Occasionally that may happen, but for the most part, we're going to need help of somebody who has our best interest in mind.
Right.
And so, folks, if you have a thought on that, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4-ALL, and plan your calls for the second hour as we begin to wrap up this first hour. So, Vic, we've talked about Cain and his blind spot that was really provoked by jealousy. We talked about Peter and his blind spot that was really provoked through pride. That personal pride of, oh, I can do it. I don't care what
right.
you say. I can do it. I know I can do it. And that impetuousness that the Apostle Peter had. Our next example, we won't have a lot of time to get into, but maybe we can just get started, is not a person. It is the Christian community. Now, think about that. What we're saying is we have evidence, scriptural evidence, that the early church in the Bible had blind spots that were causing tremendous friction amongst them. We're talking about the entire community. Just quickly read Acts 15, 1 through 2, as we wrap this up.
And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question.
There was a question, there was a disagreement, there were blind spots, and it all needed to be dealt with. Folks, we'll be back in the second hour to discuss this and how it happened that they did learn to deal with that. So stay with us for Vicki and Rick. This is Christian Questions. Can you fix your own blind spots? We'll be back, but until then, think about it.
Together find His praise, led by His Spirit.
Henry Ford once said that coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together, that is success. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with Your Breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. Sitting in for Jonathan this morning is Vicki. We're here to discuss with your listeners thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing from you. And Vicki, good morning once again.
Good morning.
And what are we talking about?
We're talking about, can we fix our own blind spots? But before we get into that, I want our listeners to remember that they can check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net, and you can listen to programs, you can ask questions and email us, all kinds of things to do. So jump on and take a look and let us know what you think.
That would be good. ChristianQuestions.net if you have feedback, especially if you've had feedback from the program. And we do get significant amounts of feedback from wide varieties of people there. Let us know, because we want to know what it is you think about. And if you have topic ideas, that'd be a great place to let us know. We definitely would love to hear from you. Yeah, I'm talking to you specifically. So ChristianQuestions.net. All right. Can you fix your own blind spots? What's the theme text?
The theme text is from Matthew 7, verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?
And in the first hour, we talked about a couple of biblical case studies. We entertained the account of Cain.
Right.
And his blind spot of jealousy.
And how it led to slewing Abel. Slaying Abel.
Yeah, he slewing.
Slewing.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And then we talked about the Apostle Peter and his blind spot of pride and how it led to his denying that he even knew his Lord three times in a very, very short period of time.
Both very sad stories.
Very sad. And we ended the first hour addressing another case study, and this is not a person.
No.
Who is this?
This is a group. It's the Jewish and Gentile Christians in the early church.
And there were some blind spots on both sides of this issue that caused amazing trouble in the early church. So in the early Christian church, we have very clear evidence of a bunch of blind spots by Christians. And now you'd think that, well, wait a minute. These are supposed to be Christians, and they're supposed to be begotten by the Spirit of God, and they're supposed to be a step above in terms of their integrity and all of those things.
And they are.
Okay. And they are. So what's up with the blind spots? And I think the answer is they're still human.
As we all are.
So let's take a look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, and begin to discuss this community that had some issues.
Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not.
And it's interesting that our friend the Apostle Peter is in the middle of this one again, and guess who's got a blind spot again? And it's a different one this time. It has to do with the implementation of Christianity and the two major groups of people that were drawn to Christianity. You had Jews and non-Jews, meaning right. Gentiles. They came from different lifestyles. They came from different traditions. They came from a whole different paradigm of thinking. The Jews, because Christianity was built on Judaism, figured they should bring Judaism with them. And were very, very negative toward the Gentile Christians, who are very, very negative toward the Jewish Christians bringing all these laws and things when they're told that Christianity is this law of liberty, this law of love, and they don't have to abide by these things. So there's this major clash going on in the early Christian church. And a lot of the New Testament is written about dealing with that. And it's interesting because they each came from their own perspective. So if we were to ask the question, what caused the blind spot, what would the answer be?
Cultural and value differences.
And I think that's one of the you could have a 10-week discussion on cultural and values differences.
Right.
And you get into all of these different things and open up many, many cans of worms, because we are very much a product of our upbringing, of the environment, of the things that were drilled into us as children, whether on purpose or just by default.
Right.
So, and that's what you had in Christianity. So it's, even in Christianity, you still have the same problem. That's why this is such an important topic for us now. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. Vic, let's take a look at Romans 14. Let's read, we want to refer to verses 1 through 8, but in the interest of time, we'll start with verses 6 through 8.
He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
So the Apostle Paul is giving a method for dealing with the blind spots. He's saying, look, some of you look at certain days as being more valuable, higher than others. The Sabbath, for instance, was one of the big debates.
Right.
He's saying, look, those who uphold that, they do it because they're honoring God. Those who don't, they do it because they're honoring God. Let it be. They're all honoring God. They're doing it the best they know how. In verse 4, it said, when we didn't read this, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, God will make him stand. So there is this raging debate going on in the early church. You look like
they're looking at a speck in somebody else's eye instead of worrying about themselves again.
And here's the thing about this debate, though. When they're looking at the speck in someone else's eye, now, looking from the outside looking in, we can say it's a speck. But, for instance, to the Jewish Christians, for the Gentiles to be of the uncircumcision.
Oh, that was a log.
That was a major, major problem. And they saw it because, understand that the law of circumcision was there long before the actual law was given. That took place with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
That's long before the written law, before the Ten Commandments, before all of that. So you have that, and they were founded in that. And uncircumcision meant unclean.
Right.
And they could not fathom that God could accept now all of a sudden unclean. Wow, how could that possibly be?
Overnight.
It's only been this way for, I don't know, thousands of years. So there's reason for the blind spot, because there was a shift. There was a change in God's way of dealing. And it was very difficult for them to get through. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 2.
Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know.
So, now, you can take this scripture and you can really blow it out of proportion. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So, let's just be loving. Doesn't matter what you know. Everybody loves everybody else.
Let's take the rest of the scriptures too, brother.
And there you go. It's a matter of study to show yourself approved unto God.
Right.
There's so many different pieces that have to be put together here. The point is that we get so tied up in the way we see it as being the absolute truth, that when you see it as being the absolute truth, and I know you're wrong. Okay, so hello, I'm gonna run you over with the absolute truth. What the apostle is saying here is that's not the way to get the point across.
Right.
He's saying when you do that, when you run somebody over with the truth, you're applying this knowledge, and it just puffs you up to think that you're bigger and greater than you are, whereas you need to approach it from a whole different standpoint. Folks, what about blind spots? Give us a call, toll-free 866-985-4255, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. So what was the result of this particular blind spot, Vic?
We find that in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 7. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth.
So the apostle here is being very, very specific, and he's saying, to be blunt, your babies.
Yeah, I wouldn't want anybody to... Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're acting like a little child, and so if you're going to act like a little child, I'm going to have to treat you like a little child. And a little child only gets milk. They can't handle the solid food. They can't handle something deeper and stronger because they are just not capable, and you're not capable yet.
Because you're still focusing so much on your flesh.
Because you're trying to run each other over with your take on the truth that was founded in their cultural and values differences. Now, does that mean that all cultural traditions are good?
No.
No, it doesn't. So here, you have to be careful with this. But, go ahead, I can see the but coming.
No, I'm just, you read me so well. It's just, I think it's a very, very difficult thing to, we're sitting here talking about it, but it's very hard to see that you even have a blind spot.
Right.
So I go around assuming that I have a blind spot. And there are certain flags, I think, that go off that we know. If it's something dealing with my children, I'll tell you right now, I've got blind spots. Tell me what they are, and I'll be ready to listen, because you just assume that that's what's going to be. And I think it's the same with our long, well-thought-out, very convicted feelings of our religion and all of that. There are things that we're missing.
And it's interesting because you bring up the point of with children. Whenever you get a bunch of people together and someone perhaps is having a problem with their child, so many of the other people looking in will have a solution for you.
Oh, sure.
Right then and right there. And well, you
easy
know,
fix.
Right. I know that you really ought to do it this way. Oh, no, you really ought to do it this way. And when we look at those solutions, they come from the different cultural and values backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you put those things together, and they're good to have. But anything that we have and we hold to be true, we need to be willing to examine to make sure that it is continually being consistent.
But by not saying things to people and not trying to get the speck out of their eye, I think you're showing a greater faith that God can do it. I don't need to go around telling everybody I know how to fix their Christianity, because the Lord will do it in his way, like he did for Paul, like he did for Cain, like he did for Peter. The experiences will lead. And I'll be there if they ask, but I certainly don't need to be standing on the street corner pointing fingers and saying, you should be doing this and you should be doing that.
So I'm safe for today. Is that what you're telling me?
Right, yeah.
All right. Vic, just before our next break, the next case study we want to consider, this will be the last one, then we're going to kind of review all of them, is the Apostle Paul. So let's just quickly read 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 8, to just lay that out as a beginning for our next segment.
Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations, therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated.
All right, now, getting this thorn in the flesh, so to speak, wasn't the blind spot, but what the Apostle Paul did to try and handle it showed a blind spot, but it wasn't necessarily a terrible or bad blind spot.
This is Vicki and Rick on Christian Questions. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Christian Questions with Vicki and Rick, I'm sitting in for Jonathan today, and we're discussing, can you fix your own blind spots? Give us a call. We're caller-friendly at 866-985-4255. That's toll-free at 1-866-985-4ALL.
Folks, this is an important subject because everybody has blind spots. And when we all have them, that means we all have to figure out how to deal with them. And figuring out how to deal with them cannot be such an easy thing sometimes.
And if you think you don't have any, you probably have more than the most of us.
Yeah. Yes, everyone has blind spots except me.
Yeah.
I see all.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, absolutely is. And the Apostle Paul, the blind spot we were talking about with him, was he had this consuming desire to serve God. And that's what caused his inability for a time to deal with a very specific issue. Before we get into that in detail, though, why don't we go to the phone? I think we have Judy from Westbrook, Connecticut on the line. Good morning, Judy.
Welcome, Judy.
I'm just praising the Lord for this subject coming up that you have gone into. I am very grateful to the Lord. I myself have, it's like I've come to a standstill and not knowing which direction to go. If we go ahead and we can faithfully look into His words and allow our hearts to be open, no matter how painful that the subjects are that we take to Him, He says through His precious promises that nothing is too hard and everything works together for good. And I have had this and dealt with this all through my consecration to the Lord. And it's marvelous, even though sometimes it's so painful, it's excruciating. But our Heavenly Father is there and He goes ahead. And He softens it with His beautiful love. And we just must be faithful in believing that He can do all things. And thank you so much for this.
Well, Judy, thanks so much for your input. We very much appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Judy.
Lord bless you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Interesting point that Judy made. And a little bit of reading between the lines, but what she was saying is there's nothing that's put in front of you that's too hard for you. You were promised that as a Christian.
Right.
So therefore, you should be willing to bring all of your difficult issues before God and let Him reveal them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, like we were talking about during the break, bringing your blind spots to God.
Right.
And what did you say?
I said that's a brave prayer to ask to see those.
Because, boy, you're asking for opening up this container, this box.
That green goo coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, there you go.
Ugh.
And it requires an awful lot of faith to do that. But that also is a way to learn so you can grow, so you can step above and beyond where you once were.
And I think just like with our close friends, when you deal with hard issues, it brings you closer. And if you can bring your hard issues to the Lord, it will bring you closer to Him as well.
And isn't that the point?
Exactly.
Isn't that the entire point of what Christianity is? All right, let's look at, thanks Judy for the call, appreciate it very much. Let's look at the Apostle Paul's experience. We talked about, you know, what's causing the blind spot. And the answer with the Apostle Paul was he had this consuming desire to serve God. He was taken by his service to God. So let's look at a couple of scriptures that just help to grasp that thought, and then we'll go into the results of his blind spot.
Romans 8:12 through 17 say, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him."
And that fits very much in along with Judy's comment. It says you have been given God's Spirit to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a relationship with God and therefore ought to take advantage of that and to bring these things before him so he can help you work them out.
And when Judy was talking about how God softens it with his love, that's really something that I need to remember more often. And when we cry Abba, Father, I was told that the Abba means like a daddy.
Right.
And it's a very endearing name. And how much easier it is to deal with those hard issues in our life if we can but remember that it's the Lord's love that softens. And things could be far worse. Even in Cain's situation, you know, the Lord softened whatever he needed to soften, and it was not more than Cain could bear.
Right, and again, Cain had the opportunity
right.
to correct the issue.
Exactly.
One more scripture on this consuming desire to serve God. And it's a good thing, but again, it caused the Apostle Paul to not see something very, very clearly, and that was this thorn in the flesh. And we really didn't comment on that. We probably should have. What? There's a lot of different takes on what that thorn in the flesh would have been. What do you think it was?
I think from what I've looked at, it was the loss of his eyesight from when he was approached on the road to Damascus.
And what that did is it hindered his ability to do things.
Sure.
It made it much more difficult. And
look at all the writing he did.
Right.
Poor eyesight.
And so he figured if he could get this removed, he would even be able to work harder. Hey, that's a good thing.
And serve the Lord more
right.
fully.
That was his whole expectation. That was his whole desire. Let's look at Philippians 1, 20 to 25.
According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for the progress and joy of faith.
So you hear the Apostle Paul's heart here. He says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was consumed by doing the work that God had given him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ, and he had this laser beam focus, and that's why his blind spot. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:8, because here's how he dealt with that thorn in the flesh.
It says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me.
Okay, that's a simple scripture. That's a one liner, and you think, okay, so he prayed three times. Let's look at this though. Concerning this thing, I pleaded mm-hmm. with the Lord. Three times. Now, if you know the character
of Paul, yes.
right, you know that this is not just some, oh, and by the way, God, if you could just take this away, I'd really appreciate it. I could do a lot more work for you. This was a pleading. This was when he pleads, his whole being is focused on making sure that he's being clear and he understands what it is he wants and why he wants it.
But he still had the faith when God obviously said no by not removing it. He knew that it was in his best interest, and so moved on.
Right, and we will get to that in a little while, because that's how in the end result of this and the last segment of the program is really going to be focused on, okay, how do you identify blind spots? Can we fix them ourselves? I think we've already answered that. So what do we do? How do we put ourselves in a position to get better in terms of dealing with these things? Again, folks, if you have a thought on blind spots in general or some of the case studies we've talked about or a favorite scripture or just a passing idea, let us know. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. And folks, realize one thing in terms of calling in. You never know what your words can do for someone else. You never know what your words can do for us or for some other listener that you'll never hear from. But we've already had many experiences on our program where we've had feedback from listeners about certain things that were said, not only by us but by callers as well. And it changes them. It helps them. You can take part in that.
Oh, so, callers have definitely uplifted me.
And there's great value to that participation. So it's 866-985-4255. All right, Vic, let's go back now and look at the case studies and begin to put them in order now. We talked about Cain first, then we talked about the Apostle Peter, then we talked about the Jewish and Gentile Christians, then we talked about the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Cain. Jealousy was the issue.
Right.
Jealousy is about as blind an emotion as there can be. All right. For most of us, we need someone who cares to help us see it. We, most of the time, can't see jealousy in ourselves.
Right.
It has to be exposed to us somehow or other. Now, it can be perhaps exposed through experience. Oftentimes, it needs to be exposed by someone whom we trust. Let's take a look at James 3, 14 to 18.
But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace.
All right, so here is one of the solutions, is to really focus on relying upon the wisdom from above. Because the wisdom from the earth, not so good. Unspiritual, devilish, let's think about that. No, let's not. Okay, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy. That's how we can learn to focus on dealing with our own jealousy. For instance,
well, that first pure, I think, says it doesn't have any ulterior motive. You know, it's not like
right.
a jealousy. You're trying to get something that you want. And if your wisdom from above is first pure, it doesn't have any of that in it.
Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:4, and then we'll go to the phone.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up.
Okay, and that's one way to focus on getting yourself in a position to be able to work on and fix your own blind spots. Vic, let's go to the phone. We have Don from Groton, Connecticut.
Welcome to the program, Don.
Good morning, Vicki. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great.
How about yourself?
I'm well. Rick, Great. How's it going?
It's going well, sir.
Great. I'm here to uplift you.
Okay, we're listening.
All right. Yes, you can get rid of your blind spots.
Okay.
Okay. Get rid of religion. And on the religion equals blindness side of the argument, I offer you the words of a noted Christian, Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant branch of Christianity, who said that who would be a Christian must first tear the eyes out of his reason.
Okay, so does that mean that people who are not religious don't have blind spots?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, so getting rid of non-religion is a good way to get rid of your blind spots then as well.
No, that doesn't follow at all.
Sure it does.
Only in your mind.
Okay.
One of the Jesus books, the Gospel, right? Matthew,
yeah.
Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
One of them gives Jesus one set of last words that he said, and then he died. And another book gives him another set of last words, and then he died. And what is it you and Rick say? Pardon me, you are Rick. You and Jonathan, every morning, every Sunday morning, there's one truth in the Bible. Well, in truth, what were the man's last words? The book of Matthew says that Joseph, the father of... Pardon, the father-in-law? No. Stepfather. The husband of Mary. His father, Joseph's father, was Jacob. The book of Luke says, no. His father was Heli. Well, was Joseph the son of Heli or Joseph the son of Jacob? One truth? No. Martin Luther was on target. If you're going to remain a Christian, you have got to get rid of the eyes of your reason. I urge you to do so.
Okay, Don, need
truth
to wrap this up, buddy.
I don't rap. That's Eminem. The truth does not contradict itself. The Bible does contradict itself. Toss it. The Bible contradicts the Quran, which contradicts the Bible. Toss them both. Okay, you'll have a happier life if you just chuck the junk.
Don, thanks so much for your input. We appreciate it.
I hope you feel enlightened.
No, I feel like I'm glad I talked to you.
Well, that's the first step.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, there's a few things that need to be said here. Obviously, we will address them after this break. Folks, we're talking about fixing blind spots and how important it is in our daily lives to be able to recognize them and do something about it.
Stay with us on Christian Questions, and after the break, we will continue our discussion of blind spots. Welcome back to Christian Questions. Today's question, can you fix your own blind spots? And our theme scriptures from Matthew 7, verse 3. Give us a call if you've got any kind of comment at all. We'd love to hear from you. It's 1-866-985-4255. That's toll-free, 1-866-985-4ALL, or check us out on the web at christianquestions.net.
All right, and Vic, before we continue with our discussion, I do feel compelled to make a couple of comments based on the last call. Talked about, okay, you can get rid of your blind spots, just throw away religion. You throw away the Bible, and you're going to be a whole lot happier. Well, first of all, I feel like I'm pretty happy in my life, all right? But here's the thing, and we've addressed these types of things a number of times before, but when you look at the Bible and you look at the accounts of the Gospels and, okay, what were Jesus' last words? He's right. What Don said is correct. In one Gospel, it says one thing. In another Gospel, it says another phrase is the last words. Which is right? And the answer is yes, they both are. What the Gospels are, what we need to understand to see them as they truly are, is they are accounts of the same things from different perspectives. And you were saying during the break the story about the blind men and the elephant.
Right, and one of them will say, oh, it's just like a wall, and he's holding on, touching the side, and the other one will say, no, it's a hose, and he's got the trunk, and no, it's a rope or a tree trunk if you've got the leg or the tail.
But it's an elephant.
Perspective, but it's all an elephant.
And so what we're saying is that the Gospels are four accounts of the life of Jesus and the activities of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus from four different perspectives. And that is a good thing to have. So some will have some details that others won't. Does that make one true and the other not true? No. What it means is to get the big picture, it requires a little bit more work.
It reminds me of when somebody sees an accident and the police will talk to all different people and the events are never always in the same order because everything is from your paradigm where you
right.
are.
So when we see that, I think that's an important part of this whole thing in terms of the Bible and Christianity. And look, one other quick thought before we continue. You know, the caller was mentioning that if you get rid of religion, all men will be happier. If we look back at the last 100 years of history, what we will find is more human beings were slaughtered in the name of non-religion than were in the name of religion. And that's more than in all of the history of recorded history of mankind combined. So, look, there's something else to be said. There are blind spots everywhere. Religion does not cause. The Bible doesn't cause blind spots. It certainly doesn't. It gives us the ability to understand them. Let's continue, Vic. Let's get back to that. Don, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's look at Peter. Remember the pride that Peter had. How many arrogant people do you know who just wake up one day and see their pride and decide to change? That's not just a little normal happening, is it?
Not at all.
It takes an experience to open our eyes to our own pride. Now, it doesn't take an experience for me to open my eyes to your pride.
Right.
Because it's not about you, it's about me. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to deal with pride. We remember that Peter, we were talking about Peter in the first hour, how he denied Jesus three times, and Jesus specifically told him that would happen, and Peter said, oh, no, I got this one. Well, let's look at John 21, verses 15 through 19. Let's just read the first couple of verses first.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs.
All right, so that's the first reaction from Jesus back to Peter. He's giving him responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's realizing, we can't get into the details because there's not enough time here, but he's realizing that he's fallen, but he wants to do the right thing. So Jesus is responding with that by saying, look, I know you love me, and I want you to work with me.
By giving him a mission to do, it's showing that the Lord still has confidence in him, which I think is huge to build us up when we know that we've fallen.
Okay. And then he said a second time, feed my sheep. And then he said a third time, feed my sheep. So there's this sense of wanting to draw him back in that helped him deal with the pride because Peter learned the lesson. Vic, why don't we go to the phone? We have Tricia from Hamden, Connecticut on the line. Let's take that call first.
Welcome to the program, Tricia.
Hi, good morning. Just have a couple, I guess, a comment or a question. When I think of blind spots, I think of there's blind spots in your knowledge and your understanding. And there's also blind spots in your character.
Right.
And I understand that what you believe is going to affect how you live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first comment. And the second comment is about the throwing the Bible out. I can understand where that gentleman's coming from the standpoint that there's a lot of different ideas about what the Bible says. And there's a lot that I would say should be thrown out. So I think that those ideas are blind spots and they're incorrect. So I think there's a lot of blindness on what the Bible really teaches. So those are just my two comments.
Thank you, Tricia.
Okay.
And have a great day.
Thank you.
She brought up something important. She said we can have blind spots in relation to our knowledge, our understanding, our character.
Right.
And that's a wide variety of things. And you might be stronger in one area than you are in another,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that you're exempt from the blind spots. And that's why the continual checking, the internal checking, and the being willing to look in a humble way to those around us or to our experiences to reveal these things becomes important.
I think it's great when you've got a relationship with someone and they feel as though they can tell you what, you know, if you ask, what am I, you know, do you see something? It's a wonderful gift to have someone in your life that feels confident enough that they're willing to share those with you.
That's a good point. Vic, let's go back to the phone. I think we have Peter on the line from Connecticut. Peter, good morning.
Welcome to the program, Peter.
Hey, thank you. I think arrogance comes with authority.
Okay, good thought.
I think the only reason we look back at the bad times when people were tortured for the name of religion and wars happened for the name of religion was because of man and authority and arrogance. And we see that all through history and in throughout the Bible and stories. The arrogance comes with authority. The denial that Jesus was truly the Son of God or that he came to really open up something to say, look, we're all children of God, not just the Jews or the chosen people at a certain time. And free will, that is a gift that comes with life. And if you can recognize evil or recognize things that would bring you to do evil or do wrong, that's just free will. And, you know, that's something that comes with this. But the arrogance, I think with the authority, you get that arrogance, and we're human.
Yeah.
So stepping back before you jump to a conclusion about something, especially if you have authority, you know, you've got to be able to look really at the whole picture. Don't just get up there close and look at a portion of it. That was a good show.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Have
Bye-bye.
A great day.
All right.
Good phrase. Arrogance comes with authority. And, you know, he was talking about that in relation to religion. Understand something. And whenever you use, and I'm going to talk about Christianity because that's where I come from here. If you ever use Christianity as a club to beat someone or bully someone,
right,
you're wrong. You're just wrong. Wrong. Sorry.
And we can't judge God by how poorly we represent him sometimes.
That's very well said. So let's just keep that in mind. Arrogance does come with authority, and with arrogance comes a lot of blind spots because you just get so self-absorbed rather than focused on continue to give to others.
But what's nice with Peter is that he learned how to help weak people or how to build people up through this experience. The Lord used it, and he could understand weakness in others, which was wonderful.
So the fact that his blind spots were so prominent made him that much stronger in the end.
Right.
So, and that comes back to what Judy said. Remember, Judy called in and saying, bring these things to the Lord, and you know, he can help you with them. Peter became a rock of faith because he had to develop through so much difficulty. So, look, having blind spots is not a bad thing. But keeping them, that's a different thing. So, Vic, let's very quickly move on and just touch on the Gentile and Jewish Christians and their cultural and values differences. This is perhaps, and we talked about this, one of the most difficult blind spots in that it centers on tradition and history and not merely yourself. Here, the combination of experience, observation, and counsel will help us to see what was previously invisible. And blind spots are not visible. You just can't see them.
Especially if it's a cultural thing, you're surrounded by everyone with similar blind spots, so you think it's all okay.
Right. Now, we don't have time to get into the scriptures here, but let's, for reference sake, folks, if you're jotting some things down, take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 20. It really talks about the dissolving of the wall of dissension between the two sides of the early church by the grace of God through the God's Spirit and through that understanding. He is the peace, it says in that scripture, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. So Jesus can bring you together and help you to get over your blind spots if you allow that to happen. But Vic, we have just a few minutes here. The Apostle Paul, we talked about his consuming desire to serve God. This is the most pleasant of all blind spots when you think about it, as it's there for the right reasons. To see it, we need to hear it, and then to think on it, and then to act on it. Because just because you have an all-consuming desire to serve God doesn't mean you're going to do the right thing.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul was asking God for something that wasn't best for him. He didn't understand that until he asked. Not once, not twice, but three times. Okay. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, and here's how the apostle's blind spot was revealed, and then it shows his reaction.
And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Aha! See, that's an aha moment for the Apostle Paul, because he's laboring over this blind spot that, well, no, he's not laboring. He's laboring over this fact that he's got a handicap that is keeping him from doing more work.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jesus answer to him is very simple. What is it?
My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Now, the apostle could have pulled a earlier life Peter with this. Oh, no, you're not getting it. But he doesn't.
Right.
What he does, his reaction to that is, okay, I understand it. So I will therefore, I'd rather boast in my infirmities because that means the power of Christ is more prevalent in my body, in my person. So when I'm weak, what Jesus is telling me is when I'm weak, then I'm really strong. So he took the blind spot, he brought it to the Father, to Jesus. Jesus gave him the answer, and he took the answer and ran with it. Folks, that's how to deal with our blind spots. We all have them. We all struggle with them. Let's work on working at helping those things to be put into the right perspective by helping one another along this road of faith. For Vicki and Rick, this is Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. We will be back again next week with another topic. But until then, till next week, can you fix your own blind spots? Probably not, but work on it. Think about it.